Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marnie and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Dave and I met at a big church in Minneapolis. The big church was huge, and then our small church was 600 singles. And then they would break it down into Sunday schools of 100, 150. And then there would be Bible studies in homes, you know, to try to take this big, gigantic thing down into something you could build relationships in. And, you know, I think because of my background with big church as well as small church, we're in a small church now. I love them both. And there's definitely a place for both. And what cracks me up is people have opinions about both that are like, I don't want to go to a church like that. You just get lost and you never, you know, or that little church, I can never go to church that small. And the thing is that God is using all of them.
Yeah, for sure. God works so differently. And that's one thing we always say is that small church ministry isn't less, but it is different. Yeah. Like, it is so uniquely different. As I said, I worked in big churches. I've worked in mid-sized churches. I've worked in little churches. Like, God had to change my heart to fall in love with the small church. I have to be honest. Like, I love a church of about 300 to 500 because I can find enough people who are like me and enough people who are different enough. But being in a small church and raising my kids now for 12 years in the church where we're at, there are such beautiful differences. Like, no, my son never had a good youth group, honestly. Sorry, but he didn't. He didn't have the big youth group experience, but he also never had that drama, right? But he also has about six men who he would consider grandpas and uncles and people who have literally taught him skills that he works with, that he wants to be around, whether it's building and construction or playing the percussion. Like, and so there's just beautiful differences in small churches. And I think that's one of the things that gets missed.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. What are some of the greatest challenges that are faced by small churches?
You know, it's so interesting when you had asked me that question earlier, because the greatest challenges, when people find me and talk about what their greatest challenges is, the biggest things they will say is lack of volunteers, lack of money, lack of budget, lack of people, lack of, like, even that group dynamic, right? When you have 50 kids in a room, it's very different than when you have three, right? But I don't think that's the biggest challenge. Like, I think the biggest challenge is wrong thinking in small churches.
Being okay.
It's that wrong thinking that we need more people. Because if you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus' ministry, which I would consider, like, the best ministry on the planet, right? Like, what happened? Like, was he always around all these people? Like, he preached to a crowd of 5,000 plus, right? All the women. And he had this huge mega event. Like, think of it that way, right? He had this huge mega event. How many people came back to church the next Sunday? Right. And yet small churches, we think we have a big VBS and we're like, oh, nobody joined our church though. Well, then you're just like Jesus. Like, nobody followed me either. You know, and when three people came to Bible study, he didn't say, what? Like, there's only three? Like, what am I doing wrong? Like, I don't think Jesus ever hung his head thinking, oh, what am I doing wrong? Like, they're not sticking with me. Like, he dies and there's no followers. And that wasn't a diminutive thing. Like, it was like God's glory was shown, right? And so if your church isn't growing, it doesn't mean God isn't there. He is there because he says he's always working. So I honestly think the biggest challenge is this wrong thinking that we're doing something wrong if our church isn't growing enough. Not true. You know, you're just like Jesus, right?
I really love that. I really love that. And I do feel like it's the hardest thing for us to accept and embrace where God has us right now on the way to where he's taking us, which we actually don't know.
Yes.
We have visions and we have dreams, but we actually don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think that, like, a Joseph, I don't think he could have possibly known. Even though he had those dreams or whatever, he had no idea where God was taking him.
Yeah.
And was he a failure all those years in the middle time before he reached where God was taking him? Or you've got, you know, like John, who ended up on the Isle of Patmos writing Revelations all by himself or with just a few other prisoners around him there.
Yeah.
You know, we have no idea where God is taking us, but whatever he's doing today, he's preparing us for that thing he's going to do next.
Yeah. And think of how much time we lose worrying about it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, are we going supposed to be here? What should we be doing? What was that about? Instead of just like embracing this place, because I just really picture Jesus walking into a room and saying, oh, there's one.
Yeah.
Not, oh, where is everybody else? There's only one here. Like, I think there's that embracing and trusting that God has us in a place. And as long as we're seeking him and walking with him and choosing to kind of bow our knee and bend and go to him and say, hey, we have to trust that God is doing this and embrace that place, right? Whether we're at the grocery store or we're working a day job or at home or here or there, like why does God have you in that place? Can you embrace it? Can you see it? Can you actually see him at work?
Yeah.
Instead of wondering what's wrong or what tomorrow is, he says he's here with us right now, right? Like he's always at work. That's in the Bible. My Father is always at work.
Right.
So where is he working? Like join him.
Do you feel like, I feel like one of the things that's challenging is that there's just like with, we always say with women, we compare ourselves to each other. In churches, I think there's a comparison challenge that's always there tempting us to say, oh, but they had more people, but they grew faster. But my friend from seminary, he has, you know, I think that that's always there just kind of banging away at the peace.
Yeah. And our modern day culture does not help it at all. Because when you look up books about youth ministry, children's ministry, church ministry, you see so much on church growth. Okay. That it's not biblical. Okay. And I get that God added to their numbers in Acts. But if you look at the whole counsel of the Bible, there is nothing that says if you do it this way, your numbers will grow. Not in the way we think. Now, yes, God wants more and more people to know him. Like I'm all about the gospel. Like don't hear me saying we should stay like in a bubble, right?
Yeah.
But there's so much in our society that says if you do it right, you're going to grow. That's not biblical. If you do it right, you're going to see God at work. Right. There was a church out in the Appalachians. It was like, I think it was a church of like 25. And I was at a conference and Operation Christmas Child was talking. And this church of like 25 people, like backwoods Appalachian, poor church, collected and sent over 10,000. Like I'm going to get all emotional now. 10,000 shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child. Like, what is that? And what they had said is God showed us this was our mission.
Wow.
They weren't trying to do all these different things. Right. They did this one thing. And every year, God grew it in this amazing God grew it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, if we do things right and follow the plan, who gets the glory for that?
Yeah.
Right? Like, let God's glory come in a different way because there isn't one right way. There isn't one system. So I totally agree with you on the comparison thing. It messes with our heads. It just totally messes with what God has in mind for us.
Yeah. There was a missionary, and I can't remember which one it was, but I think it was to China. And he spent his whole life, and I think he saw like one person come to Christ. But after he was dead, that's when the fruit showed up. And I do really feel like one of the most freeing things for me personally in ministry was that the creation of the fruit was not my problem. I was just a hanger. And whatever fruit God wanted to grow on that, whether it was the fruit I was looking for or some different fruit, and maybe the fruit was patience or perseverance, that was God's part. And my part was to just say yes and let him do what he's working on.
Yeah. Oh, people get so frustrated. Like, why can't I get these people motivated? Why can't I get more people? Well, you know what? Like going back to the fruit, like an orange matures at its own rate.
Right.
You can't stand at an orange tree and say, I want this orange to mature faster, right? Like God does that and we do that. Like we have choice in that, right?
Yeah.
So we get to do us. You know, I get to be who I believe God's called me to be as a disciple.
Right.
I get to fall at his feet. I get to pray. I get to, to bow really. Right. And to try to work and grow with him. Everything else, not my gig. I can't, I can't fix it. I can't force it. I can't rush it. I have to trust that God put me here. Right. God put me here. What's he doing around me and how can I join him?
Yeah. So that kind of segues into the other thing I wanted to ask you about was what's the number one key to getting creative in your little church?
So funny. I have so many thoughts. I honestly think the starting place is getting into community with other people in other churches, other small churches, because we can encourage each other in a way that is so different, right? Because our go-to in getting creative, right, these days is Pinterest. Well, how many things are on Pinterest? I can't do that in my small church. Don't tell me to break my kids up in small groups or to do a retreat in small groups because my group is small, right? And something happens when you get in community with other people who are looking, not other small churches who are crabby, but other small churches who are looking to see where is God at work. Like that community piece of being in fellowship with others who can share and be and not tell you if you did it this way, you'd grow and be like me. It's not about large churches mentoring small churches to become large. I think that is a really bad thing because we don't know what God has for us in mind. And some small churches are rural. There aren't even more people to get in. Like it's not like you say, do this evangelism project. You're in a place, right? Like where God put you. And so I really believe the biggest key is getting into fellowship with others in small churches who can encourage each other because there isn't one like one size fits all small church. There isn't one because your small church may have, you know, 90% retirees. Your small church may be getting 90% of kids from the low income part of your community. I've seen it. Like every small church is so different from each other.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And that's different from big churches. Big churches have systems. They have, I think it's just the pool of people. There's a general, like, if your church is like 3,000 or 5,000, your parking lot ministry really can look the same. Like, it can. Your coffee ministry can look the same. Small churches, right. Not so much. You've got celiacs in your church. You got to do everything different because that's 10% of your population or 50%. Right? So it's kind of a weird thing, but I really do think a big key is getting into fellowship and community with other small churches who are looking for God at work. Mm-hmm. Not looking to grow numerically necessarily, but looking for God at work.
Yeah. So do people ever ask you, like, are you opposed to numbers or like that? Because I know what's interesting is that your ministry is so clearly to little churches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you feel like there's something wrong with having a big church, or just explain to us what your perspective is there?
Thank you for asking. I really need to write a post about this at some point because it is, it's like I'm saying, don't try to grow, but God wants more people to know Jesus, right? Okay.
Right.
I think the focus is that if you're going to grow, God's going to do it. And right. All we can do is share. We share the gospel. We reach our community. We pour our lives out for other people. We meet needs, right? But God is the one who does the growing. And when we focus on growing our church in numbers, it changes who we are in the present, mm-hmm. right? Because if I pour into this one that God has given me, like you said about that missionary, that one may be doing this huge thing somewhere else someday, you know, bringing, and maybe not, right? But I think it's that end result of like, am I supposed to be focused on growing a ministry for Jesus, or am I supposed to be focused on walking with Jesus? Because I'm walking with Jesus and joining him, right? So no, I am not opposed to growing your church. I think God does amazing things in big churches, mid-sized churches, right. Little churches. And I think he may have that for you, but it's the focus. It's the end result. Am I doing this to grow the church? It messes with us. It makes us bitter when it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, do you ever see people like that? Because it's not growing. It didn't work. I poured all this in and you only brought me 3 people. God, what am I doing wrong? We condemn ourselves. It's shame. It's a shame and blame game. It doesn't bring the fruit that I believe God has for us. Love, peace, patience, goodness, all of that.
Yeah. I believe that there has to be a distinction, and I do a training on this, the distinction between business and a ministry. And you can do a business. You can do a business for God. You really can. God can call you. God has called us. We've owned a restaurant. We've owned a retail store. God can call you into business and you can do a business for God. But it's not the same pattern as when you're doing a church. The same as a big church isn't the same pattern as a small church. Yeah, they have similarities for sure. And your heart is all sold out to Jesus either way. But I think when you try to be something that God has not called you to be, that's where we lose our joy, we lose our effectiveness, and we lose our creativity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. You just said it really well. Can I write, I'll write that in my blog post. But I do need to find that because we do have people, we have a Facebook community and sometimes people join in churches of 1,000 and I reach out to them and I say, hey, why are you joining our group? I just need to know because we've had people join our church in big churches because they want to teach us how to be a big church.
How to be a big church.
And God has called some people tall and some people short. And some people for big platforms and some people for small platforms.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean the work is it's just different.
Bravo. I love that. I love how you said that. And it's so, so true. And whatever God is calling you to, that's what he has equipped you to do and will continue to provide the resources for you to do. And he's not going to provide the resources for you to do something else. So it'll just be a really lot of hard work on your part today.
And not one is worth it. Like that one is worth it.
Yes, right.
Jesus would have ministered to the one. Like he would have. And when we start saying this isn't worth it, we need more people, it's just like I say, when somebody walks in the door, do you say, I'm so glad you're here?
Right.
Or do you say, where are the other nine?
Right.
Where are the other 20? Are you the only one here today?
Right.
Like that's the difference, I think, in small churches. And we need to embrace that and embrace them because they are worth it. The one is worth it.
It is. And it's so funny how I remember I'm having this memory right now of at a ladies event and we had planned and we had all these tables set up and, you know, kind of planned off of history or whatever. And then only like a third of the people came that we anticipated. And I remember verbalizing that in front of everybody. You know, I'm so sorry that these other tables are empty, but I'm so glad you're here. But it really, I felt it. It felt, it was disappointing.
We've all done that. Can you imagine how different it would be to say, oh my gosh, what did God do here?
Right.
There's a reason that the six of us gathered and we're going to pray on that.
Yeah.
Why did God, you know, God did this, like, let's, you know, and it would shift everything. Because I've been there. I've done the same thing. Like, I'm so disappointed. I just set up for 10 and I have two. My daughter's wedding shower in COVID. Like she got married in COVID, had a wedding shower in COVID. And we're like, it was so deflating. Boy, we missed that. We missed that.
Yeah,
because what would God have done if we had said, look at this. It is special.
Hmm.
This is different. What does God have in mind for us today?
I love that.
He's here right now.
Right. It's a faith issue. When it comes right down to it, it's a faith issue that God is good and he is going to work in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. He is present and ready to work and to bless. Oh, so fun. Well, thank you so much for being here. Wow. Okay. So you guys want to for sure go check out Lori's website. In fact, you have a summit coming up too. So the website is thecreativelittlechurch.com.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get over there, what are they going to find?
When you get over there, you're going to find an amazing website. But if you're looking for the Small Church Pastor's Wife Conference, which is coming up in July, there'll be a little banner running at the bottom that says, don't miss this conference. So if you are a pastor's wife or you know one in a small church, definitely let her know about that summit. But that website is full of tons of resources specifically written and catered to small churches because we are all about ministry success, but in a different way. It just means walking with Jesus and joining God in what he's doing.
I just love how you are helping all of us in small churches to celebrate the creativity and the activity of God instead of being frustrated by it.
Yeah, for sure. When we're frustrated by it, we don't see it. You can't join it.
You can't. No, and you don't feel like praising God if you're mad or if you feel like he's deserted you or has let you down or something. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it just helped actually give people permission to receive the awesome gift that he's giving us instead of to want something somebody else got.
Absolutely.
Oh gosh. Well, it's so fun. I met you because some of our speakers from womenspeakers.com were speaking at one of your summits. And So then I went and I was visiting some of them there and I just loved it. You guys, if you haven't been participating in online summits or whatever, this is one to check out. And I think you have other ones that come also. This is the pastor's wife one. Is that what else do you have?
At October 15th and 16th is our big one. It is Small Church Ministry Summit, and it's going to have specialized tracks for youth and children and worship and all sorts of things and leadership. And it's truly mostly for people who volunteer, because small churches are powered more by volunteers than staff. Yeah. So we do get staff members, but if you are volunteering in a small church in any area, there'll be something for you. Our conferences are so fun. They're online, but they have more interaction than most in-person conferences, though.
So. Oh, yeah. I had a lot of fun at your last one, so I'm excited. And excited to have you here. Thanks, you guys, for joining us. We'll see you next time. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.